All right. Well rested weekend for the Real Kipper and Bourne show. You guys good?
Great. You?
Inching closer.
To death?
No. Oh. Oh, my God. What, do you got me buried 6 feet under already?
And we're all step by step.
Sammy usually mixes the two together.
If you are playoff, a Leaf fan,
yeah.
Could be inching closer.
It does feel like an inevitable march.
Wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus, happy to have you along with us. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz. Toronto Maple Leafs. Looking good for a while.
Oh, God.
No, first period.
You're right. They're looking great.
Johnny T. What a wrist shot.
Buddy, he is rifling that thing right now.
Buddy, it's like a BB gun to him.
It is. Seventh straight 30-goal season.
But then the Predators, five straight goals, and here we are on a Monday morning.
Monday night.
Feels like morning.
Where do we go here? Where do you want to go? Like,
it depends. How grumpy do you want to be?
Well,
I'm not that grumpy.
It is disappointing that there's an opportunity here, and it still presents itself to win a division, which you haven't done yet, right?
Yeah. Yep.
You haven't.
Yep. That's the biggest thing that I'm frustrated about.
Can you smell blood in the water right now? Like, why are they not, like, you can touch it. The schedule's in your favor here. Mm-hmm. Why did it look like Saturday night, like they didn't care about winning a division?
I was going to go back in our group chat to see at what time in the night you text us and we all agreed with you, cookie night. And I think it was around the time Lawton tipped in the goal to go up 3-0. And it just felt like it was going to be
one of those nights.
Everything goes in. And to me, it's like, if they're going to smell blood, go ahead and smell blood. Make it a night where you get six. You're already up two or three at that point, and you're probably going to win. They didn't score again after that, and part of it felt like it was because it felt like it was going to be easy, right? It didn't feel like it was going to be a night where you had to put in the work. They go into intermission. Nyes takes a penalty at the end of the first, and all of a sudden, goal disallowed, penalty end of the first. They score on the power play the start of the second, and it was like Nashville mowed them down in that second period. And that's where you're saying, like, can't you smell blood? Can't you at least? God, it's really frustrating with the division sitting the way it is.
I talked a little bit about this after the game on Leafs Talk when I was particularly pissed off about the result of that game. But you try so hard to not watch these games and make big, sweeping, big-picture proclamations about their chances going forward and their playoff stuff and all that. But God, like, if they lose this division by 3 points, let's say, you're going to look back to that stupid Monday night where they blow a two-goal lead to the literal worst team in the league, the San Jose Sharks, and you blow a two-goal lead on a Saturday night in Nashville against, what, the 30th or the 31st ranked team in the league? I don't think they're worse than Chicago. They're probably 30 or maybe 29 or whatever.
I don't know. Their stats are awfully close.
They are
real bad.
That's an awful team. And, dude, like, I get it. One thing, they go in there, they jump you. They got a lead. Like, you can't fight back in the game. Sure, whatever. But you were in cruise control. You were beating them. And they just went to sleep. And there's been a lot of times this year where there's just been these long, sleepy parts of games.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
let's get Craig Berube's thoughts on what he saw. Clip one, Derek.
Second period, odd man rushes against, two-on-ones, three-on-one we gave up. Kind of got disconnected in the second period, in my opinion. And bottom line is that, you know, we didn't defend well enough.
How do you explain that? Because it did seem like you guys had the game under control.
Well, we had a real good first. I don't know. I mean, we just didn't. They came out there. They looked more hungry than us in the second period. You know, and they didn't give us a lot of room, but we didn't fight for it either.
Mm. Yeah, you gave it to them on a platter.
Yeah, and they didn't accept it. So What are the main frustrations? For me, it's one that we've talked about 100 times this season. Not sure anyone's going to have anything new to offer it, but watching Morgan Riley defend that two-on-two with Brandon Carlo, where he doesn't pressure the entry, even though they have numbers, and then he sags way off his guy, even though Carlo covers his guy. What is that? It's simple two-on-two hockey. Like, he can't defend or doesn't want to defend. He's so passive.
Well, if you look back at it, I think he's not in great position, so he's not in any position to defend.
But yeah, he's skating forwards with the guy
the whole time. The whole time he's skating forward,
which is okay. You can do that if you close. Yeah.
Which he was on his way to closing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I watched it two or three times, and whether or not Carlo should have come over and covered for him or not, maybe it's the right play. You saw it a couple times.
Yeah,
I know you
think it's the right play.
Your feedback is it's the right play, but what isn't the right play between the two of them is, like, no communication.
Mm-hmm.
No, none. Not even to me, it doesn't look like they called a switch. They didn't acknowledge my man. It just looked like they were both unsure of who they had.
You know, you can find a number of instances where communication seems concerning. So in the neutral zone, one of the plays, who shoots it in the net on the 2-on-1 or 3-on-1 for Nashville? There's a
Kiefer Bellows?
Kiefer Bellows. Yes. And there's a pinch. It's either Kampf or...
No, it's McCabe.
Yeah, it's McCabe. Yeah. And it's either Kampf or Matthews. It's center that get crossed up. And
Matthews.
And they end up behind. They didn't look like they communicated on that one. You remember one of the early days, Carlo had the back into Tavares, and the two of them didn't communicate about the guy off the backside. I feel like it's become a theme from this back end. They have the play in front of them. They need to be... Talk, yell, communicate. I put it on those guys that the Leafs D don't seem to talk enough. Help the guys out. Let them know who you want to take, and it'll make everything a lot easier.
That's exactly what I saw, particularly on the crossover between Carlo and...
You're right, Morgan, that if they called a switch there, it would have been very easy to defend.
Really easy.
But it's also just, you got your guy, I got my guy, you know. But you're right. If you talk, you can play it differently. You need to send that message. But
all right, let's get Craig Berube's thoughts on the mistakes Saturday night.
I don't know if I'm surprised. I mean, you know, there's things that happen throughout the year, you know, mistakes like that, mental mistakes, and, you know, it could be a number of things. You know, I haven't seen the mental mistakes like we made tonight in a while. So we'll look at it. We'll discuss it with our team and go over things, and we'll go over how we looked in the first period, too. So, you know, like I said, it's a flip of a switch there for me.
Thank you. I really thought after Saturday night we get a more vocal Craig Berube.
Mm-hmm.
And he just does not want to go there with anybody right now.
You know, not like Sheldon on Kovacevic this weekend.
Wow.
You see that?
Do you have that?
Yeah, I got to grab it. I was going to get it for the National.
Oh, yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
But he does not want to do that. And I do buy into not necessarily trying to coach these guys through the media, but you got to – I think it's a little bit – too overprotective of him right now.
Yeah.
It's too much for me. And I think it's important that, first of all, if he's giving it to them behind the scenes, that's good.
Right.
But there's a lot of people out there that are frustrated Leaf fans that probably would like to hear a little bit more accountability
I don't think it's bad.
Did you guys want to do, like, we have the video of the Sheldon Keefe Kovacevic thing, if you want to save it now, or do you want to go?
No. It's not relevant right now.
Okay.
Doing the National.
I think what's, you know, even Andrew Burnett came down on the guys prior to that. Hockey Night in Canada talked about his hard comments on a team that's underachieved.
Mm-hmm. The reason I'm asking if it's relevant is because, is this a directive? Is this like a mission statement? Where
he did that, we and I won't.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
No, like Sheldon lost his cool, what, three times in a post-game thing here? Soft and purposeless, need more from the stars. Like, you can go back and you can remember it. But the reason they stick out is because the next day in the media, he was apologizing. He was coming out and saying that, like, you know, not, I'm sorry, but, like, in his words, saying that he kind of groveling a little bit. And Berube hasn't done it at all. Is this just something with they understand the market and they know the way that things, we do talk about it, they just don't want it ever?
What I'm hearing you say is, are Brendan Shanahan and or Brad Treeliving saying to their coaches, there's enough pressure in this market, we don't want you to add to it?
Yes, that is what I'm asking.
We don't want you to pile on the guys in public. I don't know.
It's less impossible every game that we see them with some mistakes where it doesn't get singled out. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing's getting singled out, right? Right. Other than mistakes for a blanket.
But so
statement.
This seems relevant here is we have a clip on Berube. Why did you yell so much at practice?
So I saw some stuff on Twitter about him going really crazy at practice. And I went on Sportsnet this afternoon when I got to the office, and we have like B-roll of the practices, and I watched a lot of it.
Nothing.
It was a practice. Like, yeah. He was yelling. He's dropped a few F-bombs amongst adult men at a hockey practice. Like, yeah. It didn't really seem like a lot to me, but you can play the clip and we can talk about it.
Sure. Clip five.
Execution.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. Didn't like the execution. Passing. Wasn't very sharp.
Did it get better in your estimation?
Yeah, got better. It's just the mindset coming in there. A day off sometimes, you know, a little sleepy. Execution's not good.
So there you go. He dropped a few F-bombs at practice and they asked him about
so
it.
So there is a chance that he's being harder on them behind the scenes than we're seeing.
Maybe there's a chance he's not.
Also a chance he's not.
I don't know. I'm guessing.
Well, we're throwing stuff out there.
That's because that's what we do on this show.
That's right. Well, that's what radio is. It's 2 hours. We got to throw some stuff at the wall. So I'm going to, in the exact vein of what we're talking about, of throwing stuff at the wall, they go out in Nashville? Think they went out? Is that a team that went out the night before?
You're not the first person to...
Because I think they went out the night before.
You're not the first person to bring it up that... It's a Friday.
Yeah.
You're in Nashville.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fridays are really fun.
I've heard it's a good time.
Never been. Had some friends down there, said it was fantastic.
Really fun.
Yeah.
So we're not naive enough to think that, I don't know, a couple of late dinners maybe?
Yeah. I guess couple I bring
of,
that up.
A couple of late barley sandwiches, barley milkshakes.
I guess I bring that up because it feels a little frustrating that it's like, well, they're in Nashville. They're going to go out. Oh, well, they're in California. They're going to, oh, they're in Florida. They're going to go, well, you're in Montreal. You got to go. It's like, okay. At some point, you don't have to go out.
I would never throw stones from my glass house about going out
I
in
moved
Nashville.
Out of a glass house. I'm chucking them.
Like, I would be all in at Tootsie's 100%. So I'm not going to judge them if they did, but
no,
they
no
did.
No judgment as men, listen, but as hockey players.
We're only speaking based on the percentages.
That's right.
Of 22 guys.
Yes.
Okay.
And also other things. Yes, but yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's... To answer your question, they wouldn't have been the first guys to try to maybe play guilty.
No.
So that's been around for
yeah.
the game as long as the game's been around.
Well, just hoping that now with 3 weeks left in the season or whatever it is and 2 points separating them from the division lead and everything that rides on that, that would be the end of that.
Yeah.
I would say even as a player who was prone to going out, there's a point in the season where you go, all right, and you lock it down. Playoffs, a little bit before playoffs, we're probably in lock it
down. Starting now.
Now. And then you go out and you go, okay, now.
Now.
You know, at the same time, all of them, if they've decided to go out for a couple cold ones, they probably thought that they could beat the 30th best team in the league.
For sure.
When you're one of the top 10 teams in the league, you thought you could probably do that.
And I will. So we'll say, sometimes you lose following something like that, but maybe Scott Laughton feels more a part of it now, or Carlo feels more a part of it, or maybe, you know, maybe something comes of it where you feel like more of a brotherhood.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Now we're talking.
Yeah, right.
Male bonding.
Let's get Berube's thoughts on Scott Laughton.
Clip four.
Yeah, this was best game, last game for sure. I know the goal was disallowed, but he was way more engaged in the game and, you know, provided more.
What do you like about him on the wing?
It's, you know, sometimes coming to a new team, it's less to think about, less to do. I don't want to put so much on him early on, you know. But it's not that he's can't play center. He's played center a lot in his career, and he's played wing. So, I mean, he's played both. So I'm just trying to find some chemistry for him.
Let's have a lot of talk.
He did. That was his best look.
By far.
Saturday.
That was his best game.
Bruby's not wrong.
Great pass to
would have been nice.
Lorenz in the slot there. Tipped one in.
Just, we all got a sense that he was the first guy that knew his goal wasn't going to be allowed.
I know. He should have faked it a little, right?
No, I think
it wasn't even close.
I think it just ran on maybe what he's felt the last 10 days now.
Just Eeyore, just, it's not going to work either.
I'm watching him wear all of it.
For sure.
Right? The trade. I don't know whether or not he truly wanted to get traded or not. Apparently, he loved it in Philly.
Yeah.
And in a perfect world, would have liked to stay. But then you come home, and then there's that home thing, which I've experienced. And if it's not going well, it's not a good feeling.
No.
It's not. It's more weight on your shoulders. I think he's going to hit a threshold soon where it's going to be exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the constant ugh, and he's just gonna have the attitude where it's like I don't care anymore. Whatever. I don't care anymore, and that'll be the point where he can start showing more of who he is.
It'll be freeing for sure.
Freeing.
I want to read a quote from Eric Johnson, who was his teammate in Philly, who talked about him wanting to come to Toronto if he went anywhere and saying all that good stuff. And he says he was super excited to go there, grew up cheering for the Leafs. He says it's tough when you come from a franchise you've been your whole career and then you come somewhere new. It's just a shell shock. You have to get used to so many different things. There's a huge adjustment period and it'll take some time, I'm sure, but I'm not worried about him. He's a total gamer and a guy you just want on your team. So, you know, the hope is that the words gamer are important there. And this is a guy who is able to rise up and, you know, we've talked about Team A, Team B. If he can make Team B stronger and include it more, bring it closer to Team A, that would be a good thing.
Can I ask you a question about Lawton and his deployment and the way that he's sort of played on this team up until this point? Plays 9:52 on Saturday night. I guess they're chasing the game at the
lowest
end.
Lowest of the forwards.
He's been on the left wing on the fourth line. He's played fourth line center here. Was there any chance that this is a miscommunication between Berube and Treliving in terms of his want of this guy? Like, he had him early, right? He was the coach of it in Philly, had him, knows him. Like, not like he's sending a message, but his message that he's sending is this is how he's deploying him, and just this is what kind of player he thinks he is as opposed to what the general manager does. Does that happen?
I'm going to put words in Kip's mouth, but I feel like you think that Berube's been waiting for him to earn the minutes to give him more.
I think, yes, in many ways, I agree with you. But I think there's also a mode or a mechanism here to kind of protect him a little bit until he can find whatever, you know, they envisioned for him. Mm-hmm. And is there still a chance that he could be a third-line centerman? Like, this is why you traded for him. Like, all season long. The number one priority until it was or wasn't was we need a depth centerman.
Yeah.
And now it's like no longer there. He's playing wing on the fourth line.
Well, on practice today, he's on the wing with Domi and Robertson. So Domi's playing center with Lawton playing left wing.
I think the thought is that they have to find a way to work him back into the center Iceman they thought they traded for.
What's killing me right now is Berube says he works in pairs, and I don't know if that's one of the things we have, but he talks about forwards. Works in pairs. It's Matthews, Marner, Tavares, and Nylander. And then why is Domi Robertson a pair? Why are, you know, what about that is like, okay, that's one of our pairs. I don't think it should be. So who are the three best offensive forwards that they have? It's probably Lawton, Domi, and Robertson past, you know, the top six. So I guess
we don't put Kampf and Holmberg in there. Jarn Krook.
You know, but you're looking at Florida's third line of Lustereinen, Lundell, Rodriguez, and Tampa Bay's got Bjorkstrand, Paul, Gonsalves. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, they've got pretty darn good third lines. It's going to be curious to see how that works out. You know, in the second to last game, they actually played Lorenz Kampf and Jarn Krook, or Lorenz Kampf and whoever it was, more than the Domi line. So they're still working on that bottom six.
I just think that I'm not sure if he was just a little bit overrated on the trade. That's the only thing that kind of worries me. It's he's more of who he is right now, and hopefully he can get a bounce here and there, but he's a 10 or 15 goal scorer.
Yes.
On a good year.
Yeah.
15. On a bad year, he's 10.
Yeah.
And you can kind of fit him in short spurts anywhere between maybe the second line, the third line, and the fourth line, and he's not going to look overly out of place. But I don't know. I didn't watch Philly enough to really tell you what I thought the Leafs were getting, and I don't know. To me, the buildup, first of all, was like a guy that I would say, that sounds like a John Tortorella guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, John just traded him away, right?
Well, John didn't, but yeah.
If John wanted him, John would have kept him.
Yeah, but it's not where they're at in their arc, right?
Was it too inconsistent for him, right? That's all.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I don't know. Why did the Flyers trade him? Why he's 30? He's not 34. Like, why did the Flyers get rid of him?
Probably because they got a first round pick and the third best prospect from a team for him.
I think that's certainly part of it. But I do think
they're going to try to make the playoffs next year.
Your point to, you know,
he
scored like Max Domi has this year. I think.
Are the expectations too high right now for a bar that maybe is unachievable right now for him? And yeah, I don't know, can he get a lot better, or can we just back off the guy a little bit too?
Yeah. No, that's totally fair. First off, the back off the guy part, no, that's not on us to do or on anyone to do. They traded a lot for him. He's meant to be a part of this. We're here to evaluate him. It's not our job to soften his life. The other part is, right?
We've never really done that here.
Justin Bourne's getting a little tougher these days.
But I'm just saying, we all have jobs to do. This is ours. He can do his.
This is literally the job.
Yeah.
Okay. You're right.
But I do think it could be our job to adjust maybe people's expectations of what it was are blown out of proportion because of the cost.
Okay. Yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
But, I mean, could you give him a taste? Point,
yes, I would like to tack that on, that I would like to see him given an opportunity with a couple of guys who can hawk.
Give him, like, two shifts with Nylander and Tavares one time, or, like, just don't keep plugging him away on the fourth line. Like,
tough to get a rhythm going when you're playing 3 minutes a period.
It's a chicken and an egg situation here where you clearly want a new guy to earn minutes, but you want this guy to be big for you.
Would you like him and McMahon to kind of play off of each other?
Sure. I think there's a great way to create another line by looking at one of those left wingers, Nyes, McMahon, and yeah, you're still going to have to plug someone in up above. But
is there any way, and maybe this is crazy because Nyes has been good, but is there any way that you put Domi up there and you try to create something with Nyes and Lawton and Roberts, or like just try something else?
Yes, absolutely. Nyes, Lawton, Jarn Krook, if he's just starting to play. He's not been great, but he's had a couple of days off here.
But when you're contractually obligated to keep the top six, the two pairs together, as every coach in this history of this team has been.
Right.
It's tough to do.
3 out of 4 games coming up between the Flyers, the Sharks, and Anaheim. We'll kind of exclude the Kings right now because they seem to be.
It's a tough game. That's a tough game.
Tough team right now and a playoff-ready team. Mm-hmm. But I got to think 3 of those games, there's ample opportunities to try different looks.
Yeah, you need 6 points. And I do think that whatever you want it to look like in playoffs, now's a great time to do it because you're likely to have success here and you can get good vibes going with whatever. So if you want Lawton to have success, say he played his best game last game, we're going to plug him in with in this spot. I think you have a chance to really start building something. But, I mean, it sounds like it'll be Domi Robertson. It does sound like Craig Berube sees Domi and Robertson both in the playoff lineup, which is, you know, Domi not surprising, but Robertson a little bit. And so?
Can I just make one more comment on the Lawton thing?
Yes.
You know, this is one maybe more for Brad, for Living. Maybe don't wait till noon on the deadline day to address a need that everybody knew was there all year long.
I'm fully in on that. That was a frustration for months.
And, like, he was in on the Rantanen thing, and he was juggling a bunch of different balls, the Shen thing that we all knew. Like, it's just...
Well, that's because it was his safeguard.
I know, but it just...
Which feels like you still spent the expensive price for the safeguard, which is not what they wanted either.
It just felt like a rush situation. And anyways, I do think Lawton can turn it around. I do think he can be a contributor to this team, but right now it's been a pretty bad start.
Indeed. On the other hand, Brandon Carlo's been pretty good.
You want to just follow? Did you like the Bobby McCann?
Okay, I understand him.
Just because we're on the subject.
Yeah.
Play it.
Six.
Well, he's got such good speed on that line. He's strong and big. He's got size and can skate. I think that he gets to so many pucks in the offensive zone on the forecheck and then hangs on to it and uses his speed. So that's what I see with that line with him. And he's earned that spot, in my opinion.
So,
hey, there it is.
I wouldn't even want to begin to think about where this lineup would be without him.
I know.
He's like,
who, McMahon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hunts
oh, no. Hunts. He's turned himself into a very.
When he plays with other good players, when he plays the top six, he disappears in the box.
He's big, he's heavy, and he can move.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
That's the biggest thing is getting in on pucks and creating opportunities in the offensive zone for guys.
And him and Nyes have a look. Look that really can help this time of year.
The only problem with McMahon this year has been streakiness. You know, like he'll have stretches where he's not as valuable, and then he has stretches where he's awesome. So you kind of don't know where he is in his cycle of things. But right now is going pretty good.
Yeah. I think he has to kind of play in the top six to have to look like he has. Because I think it just there's a little bit more space for him. He works well with Nylander and Tavares, I feel like. But he does get a little lost in the bottom
six. Totally in on Domi on the top line. And give me Nyes with Lawton and someone.
Hmm.
I like that idea.
I'm fine for that look for the next couple of games.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm with you guys. I want to see shuffling going on.
That would be good. Before we get to break and get to the great Gord Stellick, thoughts on Joseph Woll. You know, he ends up giving up four. Was, you know, none of them terrible.
Yeah.
You know, the 2-1.
I know
just,
Bellows
just
is coming 1,000 miles an hour, but it's just, to me, it's a save that he's made before.
Yeah.
Coming out, challenging, and then finding a way to have it glance off his shoulder.
Yeah, I don't think any of this stuff right now, it doesn't feel like we're deciding who's going to be the game one starter until we get through versus Florida, at Tampa Bay. You know, like there's some games down the stretch where you're going to see guys play big games and you're going to go, okay, that's him or it isn't him. But you're just waiting for one of them to grab it right now.
Okay, let's get a quick thought from Craig Berube on Joseph Woll.
I'm not sure what he could do on any of the goals, to be honest with you, when I look at it. Maybe the second one, you know, the short side one, but, you know, he made saves. And, you know, in the third one, you know, Tanny slides and it ends up going into the goalie. So put him, you know, he got out of position, but there's nothing he can do about that. We just, you know, we can't have breakdowns like that in a game. And for me, it's just, that's mental.
All right.
Even
Tanev's breakdowns.
Even Tanev's slide was like maybe his worst slide of the season, right? You don't ever see him have like these slides that
potentially was sliding the dance floor at Tootsie's the night before.
Don't necessarily work.
I don't know about him.
Would you relax over there? You ready to put them all in the Betty Ford Clinic? Or
no,
what?
Listen. I'm the one who says I would have done it. I would have 100% gone out. Listen, I'm the one. I'm the bad guy here. I just thought it was a funny joke. We still had a joke on this show? Holy. Tense.
I can assume Brandon Carlo's doing everything that you've wanted and asked for, I think, in a guy that got traded for a top prospect and a pick.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, he's just solidified a pair. He's another guy I feel comfortable with out there. You know, the other note there is just that this is a guy who's actually played playoff hockey. He's played 70-plus playoff games. He's been to a Stanley Cup final. You don't feel like he's going to get eaten up by the moment. He's been there, you know, so I feel a little more comfortable with him. You don't? That little smirk over there?
Yeah, I don't know who punched him three times in the chest, but like...
It was McCarron.
Yeah, on the second one.
Oh, McCarron's soft.
Just like...
Giant human.
Somebody cross-checks somebody and just like... There are times when I know they can do more of just a pushback, a little F you, just a tad... And I could have used some of it Saturday night. Yeah. If you're going to go down, boys, don't go down like that. That's all.
I didn't like
the three punches he took to the chest. Buddy, you're 6'5". On the second one, punch him back. Take a two-minute penalty. I don't care. But just look at somebody and go, not tonight. I'm not letting you punch me in the chest three times.
Sure.
That's all.
Yeah.
McCarron's he's a monster.
I don't care. I would have been scared of him too. You don't fight him. That's the beauty of your team. You cross-check him back, and then you got three guys in a pile, and it's over. That's all.
McCarron is huge. He's 6'6", 240.
You're talking about a guy you're talking like a guy who's scared.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, terrified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's good for you. Yeah. It works for you. It shouldn't work for the guys on the ice.
All right. We got to get to Gord.
All right.
We'll go.
That's all. Yeah. All right. We'll take a quick break. When we return, it's Stellectricity in the house. Gord Stellick, when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right, is he ready? He's wonderful. Oh, he's talented. Put your hands together for the lovely Gord Stellick.
Thank you, Kippy. Justin.
Have you recovered from filling in for Justin?
Gord, I owe you a couple of lunches. I appreciate you, pal. Thanks so much.
No, it was great. I'd love to hear about your Disney World trip ordeal and all that at some point. But Kippy, it was a fun week. A lot of people watched the show, so it was kind of nice. People know what I'm doing again as far as the fan goes. So enjoyed it, and always great to hop on board.
Awesome stuff, Gord. So let's get right into it. The division is right there for the taking, Gord. It's a conversation that we had even when you were in couple of weeks ago about the Toronto Maple Leafs and winning a division here, and then we watched what we watched Saturday night. Where's the concern level of blowing a lead and ultimately coming out with no points in Nashville?
So I kind of thought it through. My Monday morning analogy is I try to apply it to real life situations. So the worst four words to hear in a relationship are, we need to talk, right? That's pretty awesome. But the other one is when your partner says, how are we doing? And you go, fine, we're doing fine. Well, what does it mean? Fine. Well, we never go on those trips. We don't spend enough time together. Don't do whatever. No, but we're doing fine. And the Leafs are doing fine, but they've never done anything in the playoffs. They've never gone on those trips. They've never got to the next level. So we're doing fine, but we've done fine 8 other regular seasons, and it hasn't meant anything in the playoffs. So, Kippy, I do agree, and Justin, that I think something to play for, obviously, something different would be first place in your division. It should give you a better first-round matchup. It would give you home ice advantage. Does that make things finer, or is that the same old, same old? I don't really put a whole lot of stock in it. I just think it's a good kind of goal to have down this stretch drive.
Okay, forget about the Leafs. Why aren't you and Lisa not going on vacations? Talk to us, Gord. Let us know.
We're fine. We're fine, Kipper. We're fine. I just wait. You know, I go, I can't go because Justin may be off today. And I got to go down like in 10 minutes notice to fill in with Kippy. It's like my Field of Dreams thing. So, you know, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe I should adapt.
Well, yes, we really appreciate that. So looking at this team, like there's some frustration at the potential of what they could be and how they haven't seemed to just like they haven't taken this step. Do you feel like the way that Craig Berube has coached them gives them an opportunity later in the season to have more success? This different style is built for playoffs, right? So will it be different in playoffs?
Well, that's the hope, obviously, Justin. And you know, last year you really saw the first time that someone was made accountable, and that Sheldon Keefe made himself accountable. Like he flat out said, I didn't finish the job. And that collectively is the management group, mm-hmm. the ownership group, and the players. They have not finished the job. But for the first few years, it was about let's not ruffle feathers, you know, worry about things, what have you. So that's one of the tweaks. Auston Matthews being named captain when they could have waited another year was another one of those kind of tweaks. And then the two things I'm optimistic about or give me more optimism is the depth in goal. Now, you need one good goaltender to play great, but at least you have the chance for two, and hopefully that's the case. And I think there's a better D. So, and then the Berube coaching. Now, there's sort of mythical proportions, okay? There was 2019 when they won the Stanley Cup, and the Blues won just one playoff round after that, okay? So it's not like it was the magic dust every year. So it's kind of like going back to 2019. And to his credit, I mean, he was a huge part of pushing all those right buttons and getting the play a certain way, and that's the reason he's here. Okay, that's the reason he's here, and it's not a new coach, fresh coach, without deep Stanley Cup playoff experience.
So I want to get into still with you, but just to touch on that, what you just said, is there a chance that in 2019, just the style of play on the hard hockey, the straight lines, the dump and chase, would just work better with guys like Ryan O'Reilly and Braden Schenn than it would with Auston and Tavares and Jankruk?
Well, exactly. Because, you know, unlike when Mike Babcock came in, okay, and it was a blank canvas and they, you know, they had team way out of the playoffs, they started building pieces together. Like Craig Berube's coming in and he's going around the office and, hey, here's Mitch Marner. Here's Auston Matthews. Here's John Tavares. Here's Morgan Riley. Like, it's not about who do you want to bring in, because there's nobody you're bringing in, basically. It's about a certain, you know, finished product. So to your point, Kippy, I've always been about, and I think Ruby's got that right feel that, you know, about, okay, there's things he can do, but also you can't get people to change the way they play, particularly when they've been basically a successful team. Like, you can get the Brett Hulls of the world, like Ken Hitchcock did, to adhere more to defense. That part's understood. There's minimum kind of team accountabilities. I'm not saying they were there before, but it's not like there were any consequences, so it seemed, in the playoffs. So we'll see. But that's a very valid point. Does it work 6 years later? Who knows? We'll find out.
One of those tweaks you mentioned was the C being transferred from Tavares to Matthews. Do you think there's anything to the weight of the C being moved in that direction? Because John Tavares just scored his 30th goal for the 7th time in the NHL. Last few games, he's rifling the puck in the net. He almost seems to be a little lighter.
So, you know, great point, because it's funny. Like, I respected him as a leader, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe you can be that serious. I think you got to be a little bit more. Like, I mean, because I think that's the way the team, like teams that win have a little personality, a little kick ass, a little flair, a little whatever, a little give and take with it. So I think maybe, you know, that distraction or non-distraction has helped him. He's had a hell of a season, you're right. And the other one I thought of, here's my other analogy, Justin. I know you used to have cats in the background. I'm sorry. I remember one of them died when I asked. Sorry about that. I'm always upset when a pet dies. But, you know, during COVID, right, we sat at home and we watched our pets too closely. And veterinarians made off like bandits, because we, you know, we sit and go, oh, little Fido and Muffy and Blue have a cough, I better take them in, right? And that's kind of how we're watching Auston Matthews.
Yeah.
Is he hurt? Isn't he hurt? Is the sea wing on him? Isn't the sea wing on him? Whatever. You know, 2 weeks ago, he had a game that wasn't much of a game against Florida. Oh, he's got to be hurt. Then 2 weeks later, you talked about it last week, like some real vintage Auston Matthews games. So was the game 2 weeks ago just an off game for him, or is he actually hurt and he rose to the occasion the two games last, you know, the couple games last week? Like, we're kind of micromanaging watching him. So it's interesting, the two parts of the C that John Tavares is kind of free at last, free at last. And in Austin Matthews' case, it's been a really uneven ride this year.
You're watching and listening to Gord Stellick, Toronto Maple Leaf analyst for Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and also wants to remind everybody to have their pets spayed or neutered.
That's an important detail.
Yes.
Did you think you had the number one goalie figured out last week for the Toronto Maple Leafs in game one, or did the weekend confuse us more?
Well, it's a good kind of I don't know if it's a good kind of confusion or not. So I've always been big on Joe Woll. And you look at his stats. Like, he hasn't played much in the playoffs, but his stats are ridiculous. Like, both times he's had to play under unexpected circumstances, and I know it's not a ton of games, but his stats are ridiculously good. So he still is my guy, but I acknowledged, whatever it was, Kippy, a week or 10 days ago, yeah, Anthony Stolarz, that I would have gone with the hot hand, that, you know, he would have been the guy. And that's something Craig Berube has said, and I think open-minded and should be open-minded, and I would go with the hotter guy. But if they were 50-50, and it was rather than a coin toss, I would lean towards Joe Woll.
Yeah, I think that's where most of us are kind of settled here. Well, can't speak for you, Kip. The discussion we had earlier in the show was on new additions. We talked about Scott Laughton and him trying to find his way. Certainly, he hasn't been given much opportunity, but hasn't been awesome either. What do you think on his game, and is there still basically room for him to find himself as a Maple Leaf?
Well, again, I think in layman's terms, when you start new at a job and, you know, you've had like the other job you're at, and sometimes the first week or two don't go the way you want it to, mm-hmm. right? It's a lot. And I think that that one sequence with Seth Jones, where Seth Jones kept the puck in the blue line and Laughton was kind of blown by early and whatever, kind of was, you know, symbolic of what his first few games. By the way, Seth Jones ain't killing it in Florida either right now. But anyway, we'll see what he does in the playoffs. So yes, you know what Scott Laughton is, okay? He's not a future. You know exactly what he can bring. My opinion now is you say to him, whatever number of games, say it's three, you're going to play on one of the top three lines, the third line, and you're going to get 50, whatever it is, 14, 15, whatever minutes. That would be my suggestion, because you made the move to get him, mm-hmm. okay? You weren't stuck with him. And he's a guy that can be a real, you know what he does. He can be a really valuable contributor, and that's what you're hoping for. Hasn't been the case so far. He knows that. We all know that. And I think that would be to the solution right now, is because you're not going out giving games. It's not like you're calling guys up, throwing them out there from the American Hockey League just to get that experience, but just to help, hopefully, bring out the best in him.
How important in the next three or four games is it to get Scott Laughton going, in your opinion here? Because you know this market. You give up a first in prospects, no different than Foligno. And
right.
Fans here, they don't let you forget, Gord.
Well, that's kind of after the fact. You're right. They don't, but they do move on more than, you know, than say the Cortnell for Cordic trade or taking three Belleville Bulls in the first round, which seems to live in infamy. Okay, so I certainly know about not forgetting. I think they appreciate what the team's trying to do. Go for it, and you know, and that's why Kippy and Justin at the end of the playoffs, we talk about trade deadline pickups, and some flat out just don't work. Some flat just don't get going. You know, remember Nick Ritchie, right? Remember that?
Sure do.
Really. Kind of a can't miss. Never got going. Michael Bunting did. Why? Who knows? Don't care. Not going to waste my time breaking it down. Just didn't get going. So I wouldn't say it's about three games, but at some point, yeah, you kind of say, man, if he has an indifferent regular season, then you probably can't give him a prominent role in the playoffs. So yeah, at some point, there is a need to get going, whatever that may be.
Last one for me, Gord, just in trying to build out the bottom six, how much would you prioritize trying to find offense there? You know, it seems like all those guys are kind of built for D, but it does feel like the Leafs are going to need a couple of goals past the top six.
We need the Nick Paul goal for Tampa Bay. We need right. the Gary Vault goal that wrapped up the series against the Philadelphia Mateau. Flyers. Yeah, you know, like Stephen Mateau. Like, that's exactly it, Justin. So it's a mix of a few things because we've had – I've lost track who we've had, okay? I've lost track who we've had on the third and fourth lines. You know, there's Blackwell one time. There's a Cherry. Every time I'm watching that game, I go, wasn't he with the Leafs for 2 months? Yeah. You know, there's a lot of those guys. So hopefully this year, yes, to answer your question about you got to get some offense along with the defense. Depth is so important in the playoffs. But again, your best players, Your best players have to be vying for the Conn Smythe Trophy. You know, what Nathan MacKinnon did in Colorado, it took him a long time, right? It took him a few years, but about getting to that level, for example, and, you know, what Florida did about their big guns finally get going. So all these things have to work out. And then probably a little bit of luck, like when Berube's St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup, the conference final against Dallas, they got some bounces that really went their way, right? You know, it's usually like one round kind of, maybe a round you really didn't deserve to win. But anyway, well, let's focus on doing what makes you deserve to win. And yes, you've got to get a little bit of scoring from the third and fourth line and a little bit of scoring from the D.
Last one for me too, Gord. And I think from the beginning of training camp to where we are today, that we'd all agree that this team has done enough to tell us at least we're going to have a different feel or a different look to this team in the playoffs than we've had in the past. Yet we've seen blown leads creep in, including, you know, not a very good one.
Yeah.
Or not a very good showing Saturday night. Are we going to be sitting here in 4 weeks, 4.5 weeks, saying, like, these guys, once again, didn't have the killer instinct to put teams away?
Whether, you know, and I never like to question things like that or question heart, but what else can you think? What else can you think? What is that it factor? What is it that it factor? You know, Kippy, as you and I vie for Toronto Star columns, we're getting screwed now. They're all going baseball right now. I'm getting punked on everything I try to throw out there, but we've discussed it before. And I got one in the hopper about the Roger Federer winning 54% of his points. And it made the difference winning 80% of his matches. Mm-hmm. So it could be that simple that, okay, the Leafs 51-49. No, 54%, like whatever that 3%, whatever that it factor is to your point, that last year, game 7 in overtime worked in their way. And who knows what would have happened after that goes the Toronto Maple Leafs way. So we 100%. I don't even think I'd be lying in the fetal position anymore, Kipper. There's a couple of years they lay in the fetal position like a lot of Leaf fans do. I think now you'd kind of go, okay, we're fine. I think we're fine. I thought we're fine. But yeah, you still haven't taken me on a trip. And Kippy, by the way, you and I got to talk sometime, okay?
Uh-oh.
Just so you know. Yeah, okay.
I can't wait.
All right.
I'll get the Fiesta going, okay?
Love it, Gord. As always, great having you on the show, pal. Thanks for doing this.
Okay. Thanks, Gordo. Appreciate it, buddy.
Former general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Mr. Gord Stellick.
I was trying to think of that St. Louis Blues team that won the cup. That year, Pat Maroon had 3 goals, 4 assists, 7 points.
Pat Maroon, Barbashev, yeah. I think.
So,
Sammy Blaze.
Yeah, O'Reilly, Tarasenko, Shen, Perron, Bozak, Jaden Schwartz, Robert Thomas, buddy,
we're talking,
Sundqvist, Pat Maroon,
we're talking a
Steen,
bunch of meat and potato
Barbashev,
guys.
Barbashev, yeah.
There was no world-class skill, that game-breaking world-class guys on that team. There was hard-working up and down, mm-hmm. led by Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah. No, it was a...
Oh, my.
I'm so jealous.
It's just incredible. I think I've sneezed for 3 straight shows.
Yeah, it's dusty.
And every
in
time
here.
I think, Kip never sneezes.
Are you allergic to me? Is that what's going on here?
I don't know. I don't know what
but
it is.
But they also got it done on the blue line.
Yeah.
Like, they were a team that won from the net on out. So yeah. It was
Petrangelo, Vince Dunn, Colton Pareko, Jay Bomeister, Joel Edmondson, Bortuzzo,
yeah.
Carl Gunnarsson.
And Petrangelo will never be Cale Makar. He'll never be Quinn Hughes, that type of control of the game. But in so many other ways, he was.
At that age, he was really good.
20 points, 26
really playoffs. Good.
Yeah.
Huge, rangy, shutdown, power play, penalty kill.
And, you know,
could do it all.
And didn't you love the chop on Dreisaitl, the one he got suspended for?
Yeah, it was when he was in Vegas.
Yeah.
When he was
but I just
greasy.
Mean, like, because it's like, okay, this guy's that talented and he still can get angry.
Grease.
That's allowed.
Okay.
Berkey's outside, boys.
Ryan Burke, former NHL executive, Canucks, Ducks, Leafs, Flames, Penguins, in studio. NHL expansion, centralizing the draft, international competition. Where can we not go with Brian Burke?
Wherever we want, we can go.
Don't go away. The great Brian Burke in studio when we return to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.